Let's just open up in prayer. Dear God, we just thank you for this day. God, we thank you for allowing us to come together as the body of Christ. God, we thank you for the gifts that are present here. And God, we thank you for how you have blessed us as believers. We thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus Christ. And God, as we spend time together today, open up our hearts and open up our minds so that we may hear a word from you. God, you know what we need. God, we know what you've blessed us with, God. And so we just thank you for this time to hear your word and to share together as the faithful of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, it's a joy to be here with you all today. I really enjoyed driving up here, even though it's a little foggy. I actually have a motorcycle. I was like, man, this would be a wonderful road to ride your motorcycle. So I don't know if you all get an opportunity to do that. But my question for you all today as we think about the scripture that we read is, how do we live into the blessings of God and become recipients of God's abundance? So how does that happen? How do we live into the blessings of God and become recipients of God's abundance? And so we have the story that we started off with, the story of Lydia. And Lydia was an amazing person. If you think about this time, she was a wealthy woman. She was a powerful woman. And the disciples took the time out to go and visit with Lydia and other women. And if you read the scripture, it says that she was a dealer of purple cloth. And so it was very expensive. And she was able to take part in the message that was going on at the time. She was already a person of faith. It says that she was a worshiper of God. But she listened to the message that the disciples brought to her. She listened and she was moved. The scripture says that the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. She and her household were baptized and she invited Paul and the other disciples to be her guests. She didn't just invite them, but she insisted. She insisted that they be her guests. And they agreed. And so if you're taking notes today, the first thing I want to share with you is that the spirit of hospitality and harvest are intertwined. I think it's something that we often underestimate in our church. I don't think that's always been the case. As I think about who we are as Anabaptists, as I think about my journey in the Mennonite church, hospitality has always been something that's been important to us. And we can't get away from that because the spirit of hospitality and harvest are intertwined. Lydia was blessed. And I believe that Lydia was blessed. I believe that she was a person of great wealth in part because she was generous. Lydia was also bold. If you think about the role of women at that time, Lydia, the disciples came to meet with her, but she insisted that they come and stay with her. And I think that led to her prosperity. You know, sometimes we want to deny the things that God has given us and deny the blessings. We want to deny our wealth, but I don't think that's right. I think we need to be thankful and share the things that God has blessed us with. I remember growing up with my mother and my godmother. They would play this game of humility. They would go somewhere and my godmother would give my mom like $5 for gas. Oh, no. I don't need that. And then my God, but no, he'll take it. No, I don't want it. He'll take it. Eventually, I think I would wind up with $5. Well, give it to Glenn. But it's a game that we play. But I think we have to learn how to be gracious receivers. You know, no matter what we have, there is something about generosity in allowing people to bless us that I think blesses the other person. And so when anytime anybody offers me stuff, now I don't play that game. I say thank you. Because I believe that it's not me being blessed per se, but it's an opportunity for that person to share with what God has given them. And so I don't want to cut off someone else's blessing. I don't want to hinder what God is going to do in their life. So I accept the hospitality of others gratefully, not because of what it's doing for me, but because of what I believe it will do for the other person. We must be insistent in our generosity. That's something I think we should learn from Lydia. We need to be insistent in our generosity. No, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do this for you because God has blessed me. This is what I want to give to you. It's a choice. It's a job. It's an active form of worship when we are generous to others. And I think we have an obligation sometimes to make sure people can receive it. So as we go through life, let's think about those things. How do we live into the blessings of God and become recipients of God's abundance? It goes to our hospitality. It goes to our generosity. I want to share another story with you that I think is very positive from 2 Kings chapter 4. It's the story of Elisha and the widow. You all familiar with that story, Elisha and the widow? Well, there's a story that it says one day the widow of a member of a group of prophets came to Elijah and cried out, my husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come and is threatening to take my two sons as slaves. So this woman is in a dilemma. She goes to the prophet, to the man of God. Her children, her family is in jeopardy. And Elijah says, what can I do to help you? Tell me, what can I do to help you and your household? What do you have? That was the question. What do you have so that I can help you? The woman said, I don't have anything. Maybe I have a jar of oil laying around. That's pretty much it. That's all I have is just a flask of oil. So Elijah says, all right, what I want you to do is I want you to borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and your neighbors. That's strange. Like, I don't have anything. What do I need with these jars? But the woman, she did it. She did as she was told, the scripture says. And she borrowed containers from her neighbors and her friends. And then Elijah blessed the woman. It says, then go into your household and tell your sons to shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from this flask, this one flask that you have, into the jars, setting each one aside until it's filled. She did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars out to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was filled to the brim. Bring another jar, she said to her sons. There aren't any more, he told her. And then the oil stopped flowing. And so this one little flask of oil just turned into something else, right? The oil kept flowing and the jars kept getting filled up. Can I get Luke and Anna to come up and help me with something? I can imagine how it was. It happened at the time. All right, Luke and Anna, come right here. Have y'all seen these before?
No.
Y'all don't know what these are? All right. Yeah. You use this one, you use that one.
Okay.
All right, we'll get that one right there. All right, to open it up. Just pull it up. Just pull the top off of it. Open it like this. Like that. There you go. Got it? Oh, what? Look, there's something else in there. Look.
There's another one.
Open it up. All right. Open it up. What? It just keeps going, right? Look, Luke is having a little trouble.
Oh, I got a teeny one.
It's another one in there, right? Can open it again. Open that one. It's another one in there. That's probably how it was with the widow and the And the oil, like it just kept coming. It's like these Russian nesting dolls, like they open it, it's another blessing. They open it and it's another blessing. They open it and it's another blessing.
This is the last one.
That's the last one. I know that's the last. So there's no more blessings. That's the end. All right. Thank you all. Thank you all so much. That's all I have for you all. Thank you all.
I'm gonna put these back.
You can actually take it with you. You can have those. Y'all can have those. And so as we think about that, as we think about the blessing and the opportunities what we have, the potential is always there, but we must believe in the blessing and we must make room for the blessing. Thank you all so much. We have to make room for the blessing. We have to have the capacity to receive what God has for us. Because as long as we have room, God can continue to bless us, bless our family, bless our friends, bless our community. So this is not about being, you know, super spiritual or spooky or anything like that. I believe it's just having faith. Part of it is believing that God can make a difference in our lives. Just like the widow woman went out and she didn't know how it was going to happen, but she knew that if she talked to the man of God, if she talked to the person of God, that something would happen. So she had faith. It's also called opening ourselves up to the community. Being a Christian, especially being Anabaptist, is not about doing this thing alone. She didn't have enough capacity in her life to receive the blessings that God had for her. So what did she do? The prophet told her, get your sons and go to your neighbors. Go to your neighbors because they have something that I can fill up. They have some capacity. There's room. Not only will you be blessed, but your neighbors will be blessed, because when we do this thing together, we provide a vessel. We provide a way for God to move in our lives through our generosity. It's called looking around and doing the most with whatever tools and resources that you have. It makes me sad when I hear people in the church that are sad and angry about the way things are. Oh, we used to have this. Oh, it used to be so many people. Oh, we used to do this. Oh, we had so much of this. We had so much of this. Now we don't have anything. Yes, you do. You have something. Just like that widow, she had that flask of oil. It may not be a lot, but you have something. God can work with whatever you have. So look around. God, what have you given me? What have you placed in my hand? What are the opportunities that are right in front of me? It might not have been the opportunities that I had 20 years ago. Don't worry about that. The world has changed even since 2020. 2019. It's a much different world that we live in. So should we stop? Should we give up hope? No. We have to take advantage of the opportunities that God has placed in front of us. It's called hospitality, about inviting people in, understanding that we aren't called to live this life alone, but we're called to partner with other people of faith, to lift us up when we're down, to reach out to our neighbors, to reach out to those that serve God, that can speak a word into our lives, that can help us, that can encourage us when we're feeling down. And so we have to use whatever tools that we have in order to receive the blessings of God. And part of that is just that hospitality. Let me give you a definition of that. Hospitality, the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. That's a wonderful word, hospitality. We should do more of that, right? Now, I know we have some older people here, but you know, like the young people nowadays, you know, it's like this. Like, you don't know what's going on. You scroll in, and I think we're missing something. We're missing gathering together. We're missing some of the hospitality, talking to each other face to face. You know, I can say whatever I want to say about you on Twitter or Facebook and not worry about how you're going to feel, not worry about how you're going to react. But when I have to look at you eye to eye and see your pain and feel your pain, it makes something about me change. I change how I react to you. I change how I talk to you. Because no longer are you just words or a picture or a meme. Now you're a real person. And it changes something about my heart, how I'm going to react to you, how I think about you, how I talk to you, how I treat you. I think there's room for a blessing when we make room for others. We have to have faith and belief in the harvest. We as Christians shouldn't despair so much, but we should be thankful for what we have and figure out how we can utilize those things to help not only ourselves, but help those around us. Even in our suffering, we have to understand that God is able. Y'all say that with me. Say, God is able. All right, come on, you have to say it like you believe it now. Come on. God is able. All right, okay. All right, Minnow Mennonite. All right. We have to believe that. I mean, can you imagine? Just think about the people in 1900 that came over in a covered wagon to start this church. What did they have? They just had a wagon. I don't even know what a covered wagon looked like back in those days. You know, I bought a new car that has like seats that massage you and heat and air conditioning. I don't know if I would have made it. But the people that started this church, they made it, right? It was a different day and time. I think our faith was different because we had to depend on God. We couldn't just call Uber. Hey, Uber, can you come take me across the mountains? You couldn't just get on Delta. There was something about that struggle when people had to depend on each other to survive. Let me go to another story. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7 through 16. That's the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Y'all are probably familiar with that story too. It parallels, of course, the story of Elijah. A lot of stories are similar. But there was a famine in the land, and Elijah was by this brook that dried up, and he needed some help. And so God told him to go visit this widow woman. He went to visit the widow woman and say, hey, what are you getting ready to do? What'd she say? What did she say she was getting ready to do? Y'all remember that story? She was getting ready to die. Oh, I'm about to make me some cake, a pancake, and die. For me and my son, I'm going to gather up some sticks, and I'm just going to go home and die. We're going to eat our last meal. And Elijah said, the worst thing you probably could say, hey, don't do that. Make me something. Make me a pancake. Make me a little food first. And don't be afraid. And so the woman, she was obedient. She did what Elijah told her. He says, go home and do as I have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will never be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. So she went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of oil was not used up, and the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. The woman did not realize the harvest that she had in her hand. Imagine if we had faith like that this today. You know, a lot of people talk to me about the troubles of the church. Oh, it's, you know, we're losing people, we're losing this, we're losing that. It's like they're getting ready to die or something. But just think about the faith of this woman and Elijah. What did she have? Not much, but she had something. She had a vessel to receive the blessing. She had kindling to ignite the resources that were available to her. She had flour and oil, the foundations of a meal. She had a community of faith in the form of the prophet Elijah, a conduit for which the blessings could be manifested. Alone, she and her son would have died. But they didn't, because God provided. So as we think about the harvest, as you move forward from here today, as you participate in your relief sale, as you think about your church and your ministry, what is the harvest? Well, the harvest is whatever we have in our hands. The harvest is reflective of our investment in our community. The harvest is the anointing oil that continues to flow even when things seem hopeless, even when the food pantry is a little bare. The harvest is our generosity and our faith combined that gives life in the middle of desolation. The harvest is our hope. And Christ is at the center of that hope. Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you for how you've blessed us, God. God, we pray that the oil will flow in our lives, that we will be able to receive, God, not only the generosity of others, God, but we will be able to receive all that you have for us, God. God, allow us to see the blessings that you've already placed upon our hearts, that you've already put in our midst, God. Show us ways that we can be generous with others. Show us ways that we can connect with our community, God. And help us to understand the call that you've placed before us. God, thank you so much for the gifts that you bestowed upon us. God, whether they seem fancy or whether they seem simple, we thank you for what you've blessed us with. Help us to understand how to use those blessings, whether we're 4 or 104, God. We know that we can be used by you. So we just thank you for this day, God. Thank you for this opportunity to share with your people, God. And thank you for all that you have done and that you will continue to do in our lives and in the lives of this community that we are part of. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.